anywhere online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal doctor says people who test positive for COVID-19 being asked to carry out their own contact tracing results in their loss of anonymity. Five more people have died from COVID-19 in Northern Ireland and a further 1,039 positive cases have been confirmed. Thousands of tourism jobs in Donegal have been lost this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And a Donegal deputy has slammed Housing Minister Dara O'Brien for doing a U-turn on what he termed bonkers co-living plans during his time in opposition. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, opposition leaders say they are shocked and surprised that the Taoiseach Micheál Martin was only informed of pressures on the contact tracing system by reading a news article last night. Thousands of positive COVID-19 cases from last weekend are being asked by the health service to carry out their own contact tracing. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly also only found out last night and says the decision was a temporary measure. Social Democrats co-leader Catherine Murphy says the Taoiseach should have been made aware sooner.
I'm absolutely shocked that you should have found out about this by text. This is not a minor deal. You should have been aware of this. You should have been aware of just how under pressure the system was. You should have been briefed continuously by the Minister for Health, who should have been completely on top of just exactly where we were in terms of this process.
Well, Donegal doctor Dennis McCauley, who is a member of the Irish Medical Organisation, says the measure means patients lose their anonymity.
Normally, when the contact is contacted, the original source isn't identified. They do not give the actual person who was positive the name of the person. In this case, that anonymity goes because that person actually contacts their contact. So there's an issue with regards to the confidentiality of the person who is positive, number one.
Five more people have died from COVID-19 in Northern Ireland. A further 1,039 positive cases of the virus have also been confirmed by the Department of Health today. 127 of the cases have been confirmed in Derry and Strabane in the past 24 hours. The seven-day incidence rate there continues to fall, however it still remains the highest in the whole of the North at 669.7 per 100,000 of the population. There's been 649 outbreaks of COVID-19 in Ireland in the week leading up to last Saturday. The majority of the clusters identified were in private homes. Casey O'Riordan has more.
461 outbreaks or clusters of COVID-19 occurred in private homes in the 7 days leading up to last Saturday, the 17th of October. The second most common place an outbreak was identified was schools, with 46 recorded as part of the latest HSPC data. 18 outbreaks occurred in a workplace, while 5 were connected to nursing homes and 8 were within a residential institution. 7 childcare facilities experienced an outbreak and a further 8 originated in pubs. In the same week, 3 outbreaks happened in a meat processing plant and 4 related to construction sites. There were 19 new outbreaks among the vulnerable populations, 17 of which were in the Irish traveller community, where there were 258 cases notified during the week in question.
The value of COVID-19 fines is yet to be finalised, according to the Justice Minister. On-the-spot fines of €500 have been suggested for people who don't wear a face mask or for anyone who goes beyond their 5 km limit. A separate fine of €1,000 is also being proposed for anyone having a house party, up to a maximum of €2,500 for a third offence. The new bill was approved following a cabinet meeting late last night and will now go before the Oireachtas. Donegal GRA representative Brendan O'Connor says Gardaí in the county will only fine people as a last resort. He says there needs to be a clear understanding of the new laws by both Gardaí and the public.
We want to see that the legislation is easy to understand, both for the public who are subjected to it and for the members who enforce it. We want to see clear guidance for our members in relation to interpreting and applying it. And it's very important that it's able to be applied equally across society and apply to people wherever their permanent residence would be. We cannot see a repeat of the situation back in March when there was some provisions for penal sanctions, but they didn't apply to people who were travelling across the border. The cross-border element is particularly relevant here in Donegal. So certainly we'll give it a guarded welcome that there is going to be some level of powers available to us, but the devil will be in the detail as always. And as always in a Garda Síochána, we need to see proper training or guidance for our members. It can't simply be put in the statute books and a few emails sent out. People need to understand what they're doing, and it has to be applied equally across the society.
One of the concerns being highlighted this morning is that people may be fined for being suspected of going to a house party. Does that mean that Gardaí would potentially be monitoring taxi drivers in the middle of the night and that sort of thing?
Well, I would look at it, as I say, I haven't seen the legislation, but I would think it'd be very unlikely that Gardaí would be operating that sort of manner. So far in this pandemic and in general, Gardaí police with consent community. So certainly we will be working with people, trying to address concerns, maybe reacting to complaints, be proactive in trying to encourage people to comply without having to resort to enforcement. So certainly we would hope that this legislation will see buy-in from the community as we've seen to date and won't jeopardise our relationship with the public.
Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh has welcomed a commitment from the Department of Education that it is to increase resources for dedicated school teams in each HSE area across the country to assist schools where a COVID-19 case is identified. Deputy McHugh in the Dáil last evening relayed concerns from school principals in Donegal over difficulties being experienced in contacting the HSE and not receiving the adequate advice or support in dealing with a confirmed case of the virus in their school. The former education minister says the focus must now shift to ensure resources are in place.
What I'm raising is something that's already been enacted by the people concerned. I'm very well aware of the demands on the system and the contact tracing system, but it's really, really important and incumbent on all of us to ensure that whatever resources, whatever strengthening of the existing system that can be done should be done. And I know that focus, especially with the participation of NPHET officials at the stakeholders meeting, was a positive step forward today. We're all on the same hymn sheet, whether it's parents, whether it's teachers, whether it's principals, to ensure that the progress that have been made in having children and teenagers back in school, that stays on train, on track, to ensure that we continue with the primary motivation of educating our young people.
Thousands of tourism jobs in Donegal have been lost this year due to the pandemic. An Oireachtas committee will today hear the industry's also facing a revenue shortfall of 5 billion euro and the prospect of further difficulty well into 2021. The Tourism Recovery Task Force will present details of a new three-year recovery plan to TDs and senators at the meeting. Recommendations include further financial supports and the resumption of international tourism. Donegal County Councillor Martin McDermott says there needs to be a collaborative approach within Donegal now to protect the tourism industry into the future.
There's no doubt, Michaela, that the tourism sector is going to take a massive hit. The hotels, the B&Bs, all that sector have come out in a very, very poor way out of the pandemic. And there's no doubt about there has to be some type of future for them. Next year, no one really knows what the future is going to be, whether there's going to be availability for letting people stay in accommodation or how many people are going to be travelling around the country. I think it's very vitally important that some stuff is put in place that can facilitate the tourism sector, because here in our own county, we would depend heavily on tourism. Donegal, and especially here in Annishone, tourism would play a vital, vital part in our economy.
And a recovery plan which will include recommendations for further financial support and the resumption of international tourism is due to be presented as well. The committee, this is vital that the government takes this on board.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the international tourism, how much of that will happen next year, no one really knows yet. I think that our emphasis here from Donegal and from an Annishone perspective has to be on local and national here within our own country, that we sell Donegal, that we sell it as best we can, that we can bring as many people and tourism to our county next year. And I think, you know, the investment in the likes of Malinhead and the investments in the likes of Dunree and places like that, you know, here in this peninsula, and investments in Fanad Lighthouse and in Slieve League around the county is vital, and is vital that now, more so than ever, that we have a good tourism product to sell and that we sell it as best we can so that we can try and bring back some of the revenue lost to the businesses here in the county next year and as much as we can for the rest of this year.
Ulster Bank says no decision has been taken yet on whether its Irish operations will be wound down. The finance minister says he's concerned about the ongoing speculation around the bank's future. Stephen Murphy has more.
Ulster Bank employs around 2,400 people across the country and has 88 branches nationwide. Its parent company, NatWest, is carrying out a strategic review with concerns that could result in the bank being wound down. This morning, the Minister for Finance held a virtual meeting with the CEO and chair of Ulster Bank. Pascal Donoghue expressed his concern about the speculation over the bank's future in Ireland. He also urged the bank to inform staff, customers and other stakeholders promptly about any decisions being made. Ulster Bank says the strategic review is ongoing and that no decision has been taken yet. There's also no timetable for when the review will be completed, and Ulster Bank says it's fully aware of the role it plays in the availability of financial services in the Irish market.
A Donegal deputy has slammed Housing Minister Dara O'Brien for doing a U-turn on what he had termed bonkers co-living plans during his time in opposition. Minister O'Brien has confirmed that he is now conducting a review on co-living. Deputy Thomas Pringle last night supported Sinn Féin's private members' bill to ban co-living and build to rent. He told The Dáil that in the current climate, having people live in such developments does not make sense.
We believe that a new additional code for this emerging demand could unlock major investment in rental accommodation that is being demanded by the thousands of workers coming into our growing economy, and which, while very positive for the overall economy, is adding to the pressure in the rental market. The Minister literally said in 2017 that tech companies and businesses were asking for this option. Not renters, not young workers, not voters. Of course, developers and construction companies want to build twice as many or three times as many units in any given development to maximise their profits, and in some cases charge 1,200 to 1,300 euro per month for a unit the size of a car parking space, has been said by many members here tonight. The premise of co-living units is that you have shared common spaces, such as kitchen areas and living room areas, and that they're aimed at high-end, young, mobile, international workforce. But, Minister, while co-living was bonkers pre-COVID-19, it is certainly much more bonkers now, and indeed dangerous. People have been asked to self-isolate and quarantine in their own homes, if they're lucky enough to have one. How do you propose that this would be possible in co-living units? We have already been told that COVID will be with us for many years, and co-living will just exacerbate the problem. While companies like Node, the first company to bring co-living to Ireland, shares beautiful photos of high-end apartment living with all the designer appliances, the general public in Irish cities, and indeed our planning departments and city and county councils are not necessarily convinced. And it's certainly not the booming economy of pre-COVID now.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Support local and get everything you need this Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A 5:15, it's time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic games. Donegal and Tyrone will not meet this Saturday in the Ulster Minor Football Championship. Following clarification from the Department of Sport around the staging of inter-county underage fixtures, the GAA say all minor and under 20 inter-county competitions are paused until further notice. Only senior inter-county games can be played under the new Level 5 restrictions, which begin tonight. It means this Saturday's Ulster Minor Championship meetings of Donegal and Tyrone and Derry and Fermanagh will not be played, while the All-Ireland Under-20 football final between Galway and Dublin has also been halted. Down have been promoted to Division 2 of the Allianz Football League. The GAA confirmed that Longford's home match against Cork in Division 3 has been cancelled after the hosts conceded the game, which means Down, without playing their final game this coming weekend against Louth, will be promoted along with Cork. Meanwhile, Cork GAA have postponed their unplayed 2020 senior and intermediate county finals until the first weekend of March next year. Donegal are also one of several counties who didn't get their senior final played this month. It's understood they possibly could play the final 2 weeks after Donegal exit the championship, but that of course is dependent on restrictions at the time. In soccer, Liverpool's defensive options have been stretched for this evening's opening game in the group stage of the Champions League. The 2019 winners are away to Dutch side Ajax in Group D, and they are missing Virgil van Dijk and Joel Matip. Manager Jurgen Klopp says it shouldn't be an area that they'd expected to be short in.
We went into season with three centre-halves plus Fabinho as a cover, plus young kids as cover. That's usually quite a good number. As a football club, it's difficult to have four world-class centre-halves where immediately it's on one side pretty expensive, on the other side one of them doesn't play for a long, long time.
Kick-off in Amsterdam to that one tonight is at 8 o'clock. Pep Guardiola and Manchester City are also playing tonight. They welcome Porto to the Etihad at the same time in Group C. And Bayern Munich's Group A game with Atletico Madrid is set to go ahead. Bayern winger Serge Gnabry has tested positive for COVID-19, meaning the rest of the squad had to be rapidly tested. It's believed no further positive tests has come from those tests. The Republic of Ireland will face England for the first time in over 5 years. Stephen Kenny's side have been drafted in as replacement opponents for a friendly at Wembley next month. England were originally due to play New Zealand, who pulled out due to travel concerns. A poor result could cost Ireland a place as second seeds in the upcoming draw for the World Cup qualifiers. In rugby, as many as four players could make their Ireland debuts on Saturday. Will Connors and Hugo Keenan will both start in the Six Nations game with Italy at the Aviva. Jameson Gibson-Park and Ed Byrne have been named among the replacements. Jacob Stockdale will start at fullback with Keenan and Andrew Conway on the wings. Bundy Aki is partnered by Gary Ringrose in the centre with Jonathan Sexton and Conor Murray, the halfbacks. Connor starts on the blind side with Keelan Doris on the open and CJ Sander at number 8. James Ryan and Tadhg Burner in the second row, with Cian Healy, Rob Herring and Andrew Porter packed down in the front row. Ulster hooker Herring says the new restrictions around their preparations haven't hindered the newcomers' integration.
Yeah, there's obviously certain things we can't do, and there's a bit of an awareness around your spacing around guys and, you know, sort of how much time you can spend in a room together and distance. But like we've definitely made an effort to try gel as much as we can with those constraints. And yeah, like I think it's been good. Like we've come together really well. A lot of the guys kind of know each other already, so it's just kind of adding to that. But I think in terms of what we can do, we've kind of maximised that, and there's a really good feeling around the squad at the moment.
Finally, in Formula One, Lance Stroll has revealed he tested positive for coronavirus after the Eiffel Grand Prix. He had returned negative tests ahead of the action at the Nürburgring, but felt too unwell to drive on the Saturday and was replaced by Nico Hülkenberg for qualifying and the race. A further test afterwards came back positive, but Stroll says he is now recovered and will race in Portugal this coming weekend. That's your sport, Michaela. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news. Donegal County Council is to undertake a study of caravan facilities in the county. In a statement, the council acknowledged that the caravan, campervan and camping sector is an essential part of Donegal tourism. However, concerns have been raised that some beaches and other scenic spots in Donegal struggle to cope with a large volume of visitors this year. The study is due to be completed early next year and it's hoped solutions will be in place ahead of next year's summer season. Councillor Michael McLaughlin says its vital facilities are in place to meet demand.
We need to be as campervan friendly towards those people when they land as we can, but also at the same time contend as well, being very conscious of the fact as well for our day trippers, our holiday makers staying here for their holidays in the week, whatever, and their cars and so on, that they equally enjoy the experience and use Donegal and its utilities to the full benefit that they can, and hopefully that they enjoy it and they will showcase. The wall leave the county as a showcase experience in their mind, and the wall return again and keep everything going for us as we do enjoy and love to have tourists here. But no more now under the climate going forward, because businesses and everything are getting tight, and obviously a lot of businesses are closed, and we feel very sorry for them that they've had to close again for the second time in a year. So going forward then, once we get, hopefully we get open again for Christmas, but we really need to impact then, build on our tourist sector then for 2021 going forward as a whole, for all of us, Catherine, to be fair, I think.
Now, Donegal County Council are going to undertake a study as it relates to campervan facilities in Donegal. That study is due to be complete early 2021. Yeah. What you're looking for is a lot, really, and maybe more long-term solutions. How confident are you that these things that you would like to see in place be in place for next summer?
Well, Catherine, obviously like everybody else, yes, you're right, 100%. I'm looking for a lot. But you look, I mean, at the end of the day, we've started somewhere. And to say there's no harm in asking and see where we end up at then. hopefully between us all, between all the county councillors and Donegal County Councillor, all in their own respective areas, no more than our own 6 years in the Glenties area, we all do our bit where possible and put our heads together.
A new report recommends an end to the direct provision system by 2023. The report by the Advisory Group on Direct Provision will form the basis of a government plan to replace the current system, which will be published by the end of this year. The government says it will introduce inspections of centres, vulnerability assessments for applicants and legislation to ensure access to driving licences. It will also reduce the time frame to allow asylum seekers to seek work from 9 to 6 months. The report has been welcomed by Amnesty International but says it's just the first step. The future of the post office network has been heavily debated in the Dáil today. A large number of TDs from right across the country raised concerns over the viability of the network and what the government could be doing in terms of enhancing services to ensure its survival. There are ongoing fears, particularly in Donegal, over potential further post office closures due to a massive shortfall in revenue. South Donegal Deputy Marion Harkin says a number of options have been put forward by the IPU, which could ensure the viability of the service.
Each post office across the state will have losses of approximately €19,000 per annum. This tells us the extreme urgency of the situation and, as I said earlier, the timeliness of this motion. Now, the Irish Postmasters Union is requesting that Unpost be the sole provider of the bank accounts that are required to facilitate the Department of Social Protection strategy to move to e-payments. They also ask that all government departments channel business through the post office, motor tax, driver's licence, etc. And finally, Minister, we are sometimes told that the EU Public Procurement Directive will not allow any interference in the tendering process. But governments can and must use the flexibility contained within that directive to help ensure that both the social and economic value system is embedded in the tender process.
Donegal County Council is being urged to look at a number of estates in Letterkenny where water supplies are affected by problems with pumping stations. Councillor Jerry McMonagall was speaking after he was told the pumping station at the top of Fox Hills is to be recommissioned in the coming days after a number of issues with the pumps were addressed. Councillor McMonagall says he'll be monitoring the situation over the coming days, and after 2 years, it's long past time the problem was resolved.
This is something I've been raising now for at least 2 years. And when we had initial problems with broken pumps and electricity had been turned off, as a result of that, we've now had the pumps fixed and it was just a matter now of DSB turning on the electricity again. I'll be following it up now and to ensure that the electricity is turned on. Once this electricity is turned on, then hopefully the people who experience difficulties with water pressure, that this will be over for them.
Weather now generally cloudy this evening and most places will be dry in a moderate to fresh northwest breeze. There will be some patchy rain and drizzle in places with lowest temperatures tonight of 5 to 8 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, opposition leaders say they are shocked and surprised that the Taoiseach Micheál Martin was only informed of pressures on the contact tracing system by reading a news article last night. Thousands of positive COVID-19 cases from last weekend are being asked by the health service to carry out their own contact tracing. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh has welcomed a commitment from the Department of Education that it is to increase resources for dedicated school teams in each HSE area across the country to assist schools where a COVID-19 case is identified. Deputy McHugh in the Dáil last evening relayed concerns from school principals in Donegal over difficulties being experienced in contacting the HSE and not receiving the adequate advice or support in dealing with a confirmed case of the virus in their school. Thousands of tourism jobs in Donegal have been lost this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. An Oireachtas committee will today hear the industry is also facing a revenue shortfall of €5 billion and the prospect of further difficulty well into 2021. And a Donegal deputy has slammed Housing Minister Dara O'Brien for doing a U-turn on what he termed bonkers co-living plans during his time in opposition. Minister O'Brien has now confirmed that he is conducting a review on co-living. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, October the 22nd. The death has taken place of David Wilson, alt upper Castle Finn. Remains reposing overnight at St Patrick's Church at Dunamore. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard in the family plot. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only. The death has taken place of Katie Devine, 208 Lisnar Road, Dunamana. Funeral leaving her home this evening at 6 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church, Ahibrack. Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private to family only, please. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Sadie Wiper, named Macaulay, formerly of Rosebank Moville. Funeral will take place in Glasgow and will be private to family only due to current restrictions.